Hey, welcome to Truth, Lies, Shenanigans Podcast. Social commentary, hot topics, amazing guests with a ton of fun and shenanigans along the way. This week's podcast will tackle the uproar surrounding the Dalai Lama, who shockingly asked a child to kiss him on the lips and suck his tongue. Then we're taking a look at Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his Republican billionaire buddy, who's been showering him with some pretty lavish gifts. And later on, we'll discuss the tragic killing of the Cash App founder. And just when you thought things couldn't get any weirder, apparently Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson could actually be biological brothers. All right, check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitch TV. We'll be checking your comments on YouTube and Facebook at TLS Live Show or TLSShow.com. So those are definitely the best places to watch if you want to be part of the conversation. As always, I've got to start things off by introducing you to my co-host today, our nature lover, gamer, rock star, coming to you from Ontario, Canada, Mr. Rob B. Rock.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just going to go along with the audience noises. I'll lean into it.
Right.
It's great to see everyone. I've had a great couple of weeks since our last show. We celebrated my mom's birthday last weekend. The weather has been warmer. I've been feeling this surge of productivity in and out of the house, which is awesome. But despite the warmer weather, I was tobogganing on Saturday on the last patch of snow that I had.
Tobogganing.
Yeah.
It's almost May.
I know. But we got a lot of snow towards the end, and just this shady spot by the tree line, and we had just this nice little path of snow. So I figured it's going to be gone by the end of the day. Let's have some fun.
Jump in there. That makes sense.
As I'm doing it, I can hear my neighbor calling out to her kid, "Bring Rob your GT."
So what?
I finished. Yeah, GT Snow Racer. See, Johnny knew what it was. In Rhode Island. She knows snow. So, and I've got this 8-year-old who says, "Hey, Rob, you want to borrow my GT?" I was like, "Hey, thanks. That's awesome. You want to take the first run?" And he's like, "Not really." So I was like, "Thanks." I guess he was done with winter.
Okay. He's
over.
I'd be done too. Shoot.
Yeah.
Jose says, kid knew better. All right. Next up, our college student model, business owner, streaming to you from Atlanta, Georgia, Gianni Storm.
Hey, guys. So, as you know, I have been feeling really, really bad this weekend. You guys know how I like to get graphic, but essentially what it is I am dehydrated. I don't know why. I drink water every single day, but not a lot. I will say that. I drink probably like 1 or 2 bottles a day, which is not good.
1 or 2 little bottles? What are you doing? You're doing like
depends on the size of the bottle, my friend.
16.
No.
If you're drinking 2 liters, you're doing it right.
You're doing pretty good, yeah.
Okay, see, then I'm doing that because I drink smart water, the 2 liter. I mean, we're running tests. We're seeing what's wrong. I have been feeling like low energy, but I'm always on my feet. As you guys know, I'm always working. So I don't know. Maybe it's a sign. We'll see. I'll keep you guys updated, but I'm feeling better today.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. We were worried about you yesterday. So yeah, for those that don't know, we had to postpone the recording of the podcast, but we're here today. We're happy to see you feeling better. So glad you're back. Looks like we have some comments online. Jose says, "Yeah, Gianni, glad you're on the mend." And Jacqueline Robinson says, "Good evening, y'all. Trying to catch you during my evening commute." All right. Oh, awesome. All right. And I am, of course, your host, Neo Nix. So my question, did you guys hear about this Hulu documentary about Freaknik?
Yes.
Gianni would have. And there's like these 5 prominent women who are trying to sue Hulu so the world doesn't see what they did way back in the day.
I mean, it is exposed. Why are you doing that?
Just to explain, Robbie, so back in the 80s and 90s, Freaknik was like an annual spring break festival in Atlanta. Primarily like students from HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities.
Yeah.
So I never went. But I know people that did.
Always read your concert ticket stub, because when you walk into that venue,
no. It was It wasn't like it wasn't like that type of festival. So it was one. It was
different festival.
Yeah. Okay. So think like Girls Gone Wild or like Mardi Gras or Daytona Beach, but all black. And it was crazy back in the day. There was like bikers, tricked out cars, half naked people, some fully naked people, all trying to hook up. They would be flashing breasts, sex in public. I mean, it was pretty crazy.
Oh, okay. So it was Coachella.
Worse. Because it got worse. Well, Coachella you have to pay for, but Freaknik was just like, you just show up in Atlanta and you party. So it got to a point where they were looting, sexual assaults, a lot of violence. And so they finally shut it down. I think they brought it back in some form, I guess, relatively recently. I don't know, Johnny, you know better than I do. I brought it up because I'm curious, like, do you guys have any skeletons in your closet that were you at some Coachella, Freaknik, something back in the day?
Oh,
no.
Anything with video documentation or evidence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Not with video evidence. I'm good.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know, actually. No, kidding.
I'm talking distance, though. She was probably flashing people.
Never. Never. Never that. But no, nothing that I haven't been proud of, hopefully, that comes out in social
media. I see online, Jack Robinson, it's supposed to be a fun time for HBCUs, but no one signed up for sexual assaults and that trifling behavior. Yeah, it got really crazy towards the end. Like, I mean, from what I understand, it was crazy, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Especially in the 80s, because it started in 83. It was like a little picnic gathering that they did, and then it started to build from there. A bunch of HBCUs started to get together year after year, and then at late 90s it was like ridiculous. So anyway,
it got worse.
And I don't think I have any, like you say, video evidence or anything crazy. I really didn't do anything crazy growing up anyway, so I'm good.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. All right, let's get into some topics, guys.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, Robbie, you're starting us off. Dalai Lama is accused of some inappropriate stuff with some kids. Talk to us.
Yeah, he sure is. Speaking of leaving a video trail, a video surfaced last week that has generated a lot of public outcry, and with good reason. In the video, the 14th Dalai Lama can be heard asking a young boy to suck his tongue. So the incident appears to have taken place at the Dalai Lama's temple in Dharamshala on February 28th. So in the video, the boy is seen asking if he can hug the Dalai Lama, and the leader motions to his cheek and saying, you know, first here, the boy kisses his cheek, then he gives him a hug. The 87-year-old then pointed to his lips, then he leans in and gives the boy a kiss on the mouth, and then he says, and suck my tongue, something that the Dalai Lama has since apologized for. So is the request made by the Dalai Lama to this young boy at the public event to suck his tongue considered innocent and affectionate behavior, as some of his defenders are saying?
What do you think, Johnny?
Okay. So I have mixed feelings, because initially I wanted to go at him like, this is weird as hell, before I watched the video. Because I'm a very observant person when it comes to people's body language. For the most part, I like to think I can pick up on what people's true intentions are, like in that moment, like when they're just not conscious of their body movement. So just looking at the Dalai Lama, it seemed as if this is how he always interacts. Like, it seems as if he's just being himself. And not to say that that's innocent, but I just think that he is coming across to me playful. Like, this is how he jokes around. Now, I personally would take offense to it and think it is inappropriate because it's gross and it's weird in our culture. So in his culture, I'm not sure if the same applies. Like, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not speaking for culture, sticking out your tongue can be a form of greeting in Tibet.
Sticking out your tongue, sure.
Sticking out your tongue is a form of greeting in Tibet. There's nothing about, like, sucking tongue beyond that. So if we're talking culturally, that is a tongue thing culturally in Tibet.
Okay. I mean, it's weird. I can't make excuses for it, but we find it awkward. They might laugh at it. So I don't know. I don't know how to go about that, but it wouldn't be my son. I'm just saying, it's just awkward.
Let me just play this video all the way through. I mean, because he's like kissing him. So he kissed him on the lips. Boy was like awkward at first because he didn't really seem like he wanted to kiss him. And then he pulls his lips, the boy's lips towards him, puts his head against his head. And then there's like this awkwardness that goes on for like a second. And he just sucks his tongue and then sticks his tongue out. The boy, I don't know if he makes contact or not, but the boy clearly doesn't want to do it. So,
yeah, every time, like, okay, now that you keep playing it, it's getting worse. It's getting more awkward.
I mean, it's just.
Is this normal to you? Is this just play?
All right, so you know how I am with kids and stuff like that. Just, I don't know, I'm just funny. And so I might be a little more sensitive. I read all the articles defending him talking about, like, it's a language barrier, you know, some old tradition, people stick their tongues out as a greeting. But, I mean, I'm looking at this, and there's intent to what he's doing. You know, he's intentionally pulling his face to him. The kid's obviously kind of
uncomfortable,
you know, and so he pulls his face and kind of forces him to kiss his lips, and then I won't say forces. Maybe I'm not being a little too aggressive with my wording.
He adjusts the target. When the boy's coming in, he's adjusting the target. So for you to say that he forced that isn't outlandish.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah, because
the kid was clearly uncomfortable, and then he was surprised that the boy is shocked. I don't know. The boy's shocked. He's like, what the heck is this? I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Suck my tongue.
I try to get him back.
And the boy's head even like goes backwards. Like, what the heck? I don't know. Anyway, first thought for me was like the Catholic priests and what they're doing behind closed doors. And, you know, sure, he might be old and maybe had a momentary lapse and forgot, hey, that's an uncomfortable thing for kids. You know, maybe he thought of his childhood. Sure, possible. Or it could very well be normal behavior for him behind closed doors. And instead, his momentary lapse is he forgot it was a big old secret. So, I mean, this could be something he's always done. I don't know. All I'm saying is I thought it was pretty uncomfortable for me to watch. And obviously for the kid himself. So, I don't know. Rob, what do you think?
Well, you know, like we were talking about culturally sticking out your tongue as a form of greeting in Tibet. All right. It's an interesting factoid, but asking a kid to suck your tongue is a weird request. I'm glad that we're not having another discussion about systemic child abuse, child sex abuse, as we've seen in other religious organizations, but come on, who asks a kid to suck their tongue? I would like to believe that there was some kind of language mix-up, given that he is fluent in multiple languages, but it still doesn't change the gross feeling that we get when we're watching this happen, because like you said, Neo, like this kid is clearly uncomfortable, and he was placed in a position. Did he feel like he could even say no?
Yeah,
like this is the Dalai Lama
situation. Hey, I have a
person of authority. Come on up. Okay, so you are the head of the church. I shouldn't really say no to you at a public event and make you look dumb. Like that, there's so much pressure on that kid in that moment that he really doesn't have a choice but to go along with it. Like you said, Neo, like that momentary lapse at an extended age could be either way. I hadn't really considered it.
What is he, like 86, 80 something?
87. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'm relieved that we're not having another conversation about systemic sexual abuse in a church.
That we know of.
Right.
And you're right. This might open the door for other children, other people to come forward to say, hey, you know what? I've had awkward moments, or I had something even more done to me. I really hope not, because I've always appreciated Buddhism because they are free of that kind of turmoil to date. And I would hate to see that kind of blemish on something that has actually been very pure and has been actually good influence on me over the years. I do appreciate Buddhist philosophy. I really do.
If you were a parent and you saw your kid in that situation, what would you do? If you were the child's parent, I mean, would you just be like, okay, I'm gonna just let this happen and figure it out? Or
heck no. I would have snatched that kid up. I mean, it happened fast when it started to happen.
It did happen pretty fast.
But yeah. I would have snatched my kid away from this person and said, what?
Yeah.
No.
Because if you let it happen as a parent, then maybe that kid would be like, okay, this is okay. Or this is normal. Or nobody's really standing up for him. Like, nope, he was in public. There's tons of people there. Nobody was doing anything. None of them.
I mean, they were laughing and clapping and then stuff. It's awkward. But, and then Jacqueline Robinson said the same thing. Ick, where's the baby's parents? Because after, so I watched a video afterwards of interviews, and the boy was like, oh, you know, it's so good to see the Dalai Lama. He's such a good, peaceful person, and it was great, and I just wanted to get a hug from him. And he seemed like he was good. Like I said, I don't think the boy actually made contact with his tongue, but, you know, the parent was on right after him talking, and she was like, it's okay, the parent was good, and she was just having a normal conversation, a normal interview, not really mentioning that was weird. So I don't know. I think I would have said something. I was like, a little weird that he tried to stick his tongue out and have him suck his tongue, but
it was good to be.
And you know, I was that parent where it was just like, okay, so if you've asked my child for a kiss and they've been affectionate, they've given you a kiss. You know, when I hear certain family members, no, give me a kiss on the lips.
Oh, hell.
No. The kid gave you some affection. If the child wants to give you that little peck on the lips, sure. But at a certain age, you cut that off. But, you know, it's just, even with family, there are boundaries.
Yeah, to your point, I mean, people have been getting to the point where they're telling their kids, if you don't want to hug your cousin, sister, uncle, then you don't have to. They're telling their children just because of all the sexual assaults going on. And I'm for that.
I mean, but if you think back on your childhood, how many times were you put into situations where you really didn't want to give nor receive that affection from these family members?
Mm-hmm.
But it was an expectation. It was like, kiss your cousin,
family.
Kiss your aunt, kiss your grandmother. It's like, well, but I don't want to. And to force that kid, it diminishes your power at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
It does.
I'm not cool with that. I like that people and families are now saying, hey, you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to. Because I'm one of those people that feel relationships are important. And
agreed.
You know, but they should kind of stand on their own. All right. Mm-hmm. So comments online. We got Jose says, maybe more will come forward. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yep. Who knows? All right. Is this truth, lies, shenanigans?
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Call it shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Something going on back in there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's some truth. We got it on video, but it's definitely shenanigans.
There's some shenanigans happening we don't know about. I mean, the Dalai Lama should have recognized that the child was uncomfortable. And the fact that it didn't matter that the child was uncomfortable just kind of makes me question some things.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our next topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Okay. All right. Let's delve into this never-ending soap opera with Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, his wife Jenny, and now their billionaire friend Harlan Crow. Of course, Clarence Thomas is the second Black Supreme Court Justice appointed by George H.W. Daddy Bush. Now, we know he consistently sides with Republicans. He voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, even suggested explicitly that conservatives go after other rights like gay rights. But let's go over all the craziness with this dude. Of course, back in 1991, he was accused of sexual harassment by Anita Hill during his confirmation hearings. He's been criticized for never asking any questions during oral arguments. I mean, come on, if you're sitting on the highest court in the land, you should at least pretend not to be conservative lapdog. Then there's his wife, Jenny Thomas, leading up to the January 6th insurrection, sending text messages to Trump staff about overturning the 2020 election. Then Thomas refused to recuse himself from cases involving his wife. In 2011, he failed to disclose his wife's income from her work with conservatives for 13 years. And now the big fuss is because he failed to disclose some financial transactions gifts from this guy, Harlan Crow. Apparently likes to buy historical or controversial properties, including a property previously owned by Nazis back in the day. And on top of that, one of those transactions Thomas failed to disclose is a family house that Crow bought from Thomas. And Crow renovated, built up, put a lot of money into it. He continues to maintain the house. But Clarence Thomas's mom still lives there. So Crow basically bought, fixed up, and pays for all the expenses for Clarence Thomas's mom's house. He claims he's preserving history because, you know, he's the historical house of the second Black Supreme Court justice. But I'm calling BS. Crow wasn't just buying a house. He was clearly buying himself a Supreme Court justice. So my question to you guys, what should be done about this? And how can we hold these justices accountable considering their place in lifetime offices? Let me start with Rob B.
If a Supreme Court justice is found to have received luxury items and properties from a billionaire, it could be considered a violation of ethical standards and undermine the integrity of the judicial system. We know that there are specific procedures in place, such as the Judicial Conduct and Disability Act in the U.S. that allows for investigations and disciplinary proceedings against federal judges, including Supreme Court justices. Yes, Clarence. So if the allegations of impropriety are substantiated, potential consequences could include censure, reprimand, or even removal from office. So if all of this is true, I really think that he should be removed from his office and an investigation of his decisions should be started immediately. And if it can be demonstrated that specific decisions were bought, then they should be reviewed by the remaining justices. Clarence and Ginny gotta go. They are bad news for America. And Harlan Crow, any relation to Jim?
Jim Crow. That's a good one. All right, Rob.
That was a good one, Rob. That's funny.
That's a good one.
You guys know how I feel about politics. I think that we need to do a sweep bringing new people in. But I think that what they should do, honestly, with Clarence Thomas's track record is to remove him from office. That's just...
It got to be something.
Yeah, should have been done, actually.
The problem is the Chief Justice is a conservative. Although John Roberts has been voting both ways, he's still considered a conservative.
Yeah, I feel like we need change. The way to get them to feel the consequences of their action is to remove them from office, take their title away from them, strip them of that. I just think giving fines or doing anything less than that is just... almost childish. I think we need to strip them of their title, honestly. Get people that are in there that are actually doing the right things for us. Since maybe, I would say like 2020, 2021, it's just been one after the other with like politicians and leaders being exposed and all of these like criminal things that have been going on. I'm sure it's been going on. Like, I know, but I'm just saying once I've gotten of age to actually care about what's happening in our country and society, I've just noticed it's just been one after the other. Yeah, he got to go.
Mr. Diggs, I think the number one thing, we got to get some term limits in. I mean, I think a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court is crazy to me. Just think about the last 20 years and how much social change has occurred in the last just 20 years. And Someone sits in office who's, I'm talking about gay rights, civil rights. I mean, there is a lot that has changed just in the last 20 years alone. And so we have these conservative people. Thomas has been on there since, late 80s? He's been on the court. Yeah. I mean, just think about how much has changed in our world since then. And he potentially could be on there another 20 years. And he's living in these antiquated times in his head of where the world is and where the world should be. And I mean, it's just, I think we should have term limits like 10 years, 15 years. I think it should be longer than most. I'll give you longer than most because, again, there's always this checks and balances in place. But we've got to get rid of some of these people that have been around for 40 years. People are like 89. How in the hell are they even making reasonable decisions at this point? He probably still has his wits about him, but he doesn't care. All he's trying to do is get his billionaire friends to pay for everything for him, and he just votes however they want him to. It's kind of ridiculous.
Wait. Yeah. I mean, at this point, we all see that. And I agree with you, Neo. The term limits need to change. I didn't know it was a life appointed thing. See, I'm learning new things. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So until he dies, okay.
Yeah, man, it's life appointment. That's the thing about the Trump appointments. The problem with the Trump appointments that we have is that he appointed all these really, really young people who are still, you know, conservative, and they're living in these old times. And they're going to be on the Supreme Court for another 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
No, I agree with the terms, and they should be longer terms given the office that they actually are serving. I can see, like you were saying, a decade maybe, and with the possibility of getting another term.
Appointment.
Yeah. Just because that's it. If they are serving the American people, then I don't see any problem with it. And if you do have terms, it gives you the opportunity to
review,
move things around a little bit. Yeah, mm-hmm. Have a set number. Yeah. Because I know Trump shoehorned a couple of his justices in. And it's like, well, yeah, you did it for the sheer numbers of it so that you could get that legal traction behind your madness.
Right.
It's a system that needs to be revamped. Really needs some attention.
Yeah.
Serious revamping.
I'm annoyed with this guy. I can't.
Uncle Tom.
Did you call him Uncle Tom?
Yeah, I didn't want to say it out loud, but you heard me.
But you know, there's a different meaning to the actual Uncle Tom if you read the book. But I mean, it became a term. But Jacqueline Robinson says, Clarence is a bitter, self-loathing, grossly incompetent fool who's been waiting decades to pay back those he believes have offended him. Ridiculous. Mm. She's right. George Fournier, I didn't approve of his appointment when he was dealing with the sexual misconduct allegations. All right. Is this truth? Lies.
Shenanigans.
This is shenanigans. America
it's
is
horrible like shenanigans.
We got to get rid of this guy. Gianni.
Truth. Lies.
You got a story about an executive getting stabbed. What happened?
Yeah, the founder of Cash App, Bob Lee, was stabbed in San Francisco near the Bay Bridge. He ended up dying in the hospital later due to his injuries. Many find this very shocking. I know I do. And it's brutal. And Bob Lee died over an argument with a man named Nima Momeni. Others, however, have noticed a slew of deaths from big tech leaders. Like recently this year, two crypto CEOs were actually killed with there being little to no evidence and the killings being within weeks from each other. And last year, 2022, three crypto leaders were killed once again, just weeks from each other. So kind of weird, kind of coincidental. I don't know. But my question to you guys is, there something more sinister behind the scenes of these tech giants' deaths? Is this foul play? Or is this just happenstance?
I'll start it off. So there were three crypto people. It was Mushigian, I think is his name, 29. He drowned after tweeting the CIA and Mossad was trying to kill him. And his family says that he was mentally ill. And then there's Kulander, who's 30. He was killed in his sleep, or he died in his sleep, but strangely. And then Tehran, he died in a chopper crash. So I say it was a little weird. I don't know. It's a little strange, but.
Different types of deaths, like kind of all not related. However, it's just, that's why I said, is it happenstance? Like it's just like circumstantial?
I would say that it's possible those three that I just mentioned were targeted, maybe. I give you that. But this one, this Cash App guy, I think this guy, Nima Momeni, was truly mad about something that happened with his sister. Because he said that they had an argument where they were talking about his sister. They went to a party the night before or something like that with his sister. I don't know. I think he was really angry. You know, not a lot has come out yet. I think they're trying to keep some things quiet or something. I don't know why, but you know when men
might be sensitive,
right? It might be, but you know how men with money and power can act. You know, I wouldn't put it past this guy Bob Lee that he did something inappropriate with his sister.
He got,
you know how men can act. So if you give them money and influence, you know how much worse they can act.
Yeah, I mean, because the sister was actually married, right? So maybe it could be as simple as an affair. I mean, but that was an intense reaction to stab him to death and leave him to bleed. He stabbed him 3 times with a big knife and left him to bleed out. I mean, maybe he raped his sister or something, you know? It could be something like that. There's not a whole lot of details right now. I don't want to speculate too much, but I just think it could be something bigger than what we think. I don't know that it was
like you said, if she's married, it could be a thing of family honor? Because that's very important in some cultural makeups. But John, I don't know that it's necessarily that insidious or a plot, because cryptocurrencies have become increasingly popular and a lot of the early investors made significant gains. Yep. So unfortunately, this has made them attractive targets for criminals looking to profit from ransom or theft. There have been, like, as you mentioned, there have been a lot of cases of cryptocurrency holders being kidnapped, subjected to violence, tortured in order to gain access to their digital wallets. Mm-hmm. Now, these incidents typically involved wealthy individuals, crypto kings, right? So experts have suggested that the rise in these crimes is due to the lack of regulation and oversight in the cryptocurrency industry. It makes it easier for criminals to exploit weaknesses in the system. Also, it's the anonymous nature of many cryptocurrencies that can make it really difficult for law enforcement to track down perpetrators and recover any stolen funds. Mm-hmm. It's really important to note, however, that these incidents are still relatively rare and shouldn't discourage people from investing in cryptocurrency. But, you know, as with any investment, it's important to take appropriate precautions to protect yourself and your assets.
So you're saying they need some bodyguards?
Storing digital wallets in secure locations using strong passwords, but to protect yourself physically, I mean, don't advertise that you're rich. Don't flaunt it.
That's fair. I mean, I guess, I would definitely buy a nicer house if I was a billionaire from some crypto. I mean, you mentioned these digital wallets. I think I have some Bitcoin somewhere because I lost track of a digital wallet that I had years ago.
Yep.
I lost track of it. And I think I have some money. It could be a lot. It could be a little. Because I was mining Bitcoin for a while when it was early.
And if you were doing it early, it could be USB key in a landfill worth $2.5 million and growing, and it'll never be collected.
I think the digital wallet's on a hard drive on a computer that's dead. So that's my problem. So anyway, but you're right about this crypto thing. It makes them targets. And so, yeah, you know, and there's a lot of cryptocurrencies out there now.
But my thing is, I don't know, guys. I think that it is easy to brush stuff like this off because there's so much evidence and facts that is out there already, but they're never going to put something maybe more sinister, like I mentioned earlier, something that could be the real potential reason. They're not going to make it obvious because maybe there's a hit for a reason. Like, I know I'm the conspiracy head of the team, but I think it's...
So you're saying that the paper people, the paper banks are in this. They're shutting down Crypto Kings.
We got a lot of Crypto Kings to go after.
I said, I'm not really sure who's behind the madness, but I do think that it's interesting that these tech giants are dying. And I wonder if there are people that are actually investigating this coup of people that died. Not even just the Bob Lee guy, but like I said, the crypto giants, how they happen to die mysteriously. If you guys look at TikTok, they have people making up, not theories, but essentially, they're theories. Okay. They're theories on what actually happened.
They're hypotheses. Hypotheses.
I'm pretty sure this guy made a lot of money, did something dumb. Probably these other guys did some dumb stuff and they got a lot of money and just did stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out that the wife was raped or something like that. That's why he went crazy.
But like I said, if it's even just a matter of honor, Neil.
Yeah.
If she dishonored the family, if he dishonored the family, then, you know.
But you're pretty killing vicious. You're killing a leader in the industry that everybody knows. Like, unless you're willing to suicide, take your life for your sister in honor,
if you're angry enough,
for some people, they don't care. It is a matter of honor, and that is what's most important.
Shoot.
People are selfish.
I'm not saying I agree with it.
All right, some comments online. Jacqueline Robinson, I think this death was circumstantial. Before the facts were known, the political class used this as an opportunity to blame crime policies in liberal cities like San Francisco. Mike Winter says, please don't give me something else to give you grief about, Neo. He's talking about me losing some cryptocurrency. I'm mad about it too, man. I've really tried to bring back to life every one of my dead computers trying to find that digital wallet.
No way.
It's got to be, if I were to guesstimate, it's got to be probably tens of thousands, maybe.
It's not like
a huge amount, but I didn't mind a lot, but it was early enough where I think it's a good number.
If it's early enough, yeah.
Is that a good number?
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Is this truth?
Truth.
Lies. Shenanigans. Johnny's going to be talking about some shenanigans, but I'm going with some truth.
I'm going to truth on this one.
Oh, now you're switching it up, Gianni. You're switching it up to some truth.
I think it's true that these people died, but I think it's shenanigans, the story behind it.
You think there's some shenanigans?
A double win.
All right. All right. Let's get into our last topic.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, this should be a quick one. Let's talk about this past week. Matthew McConaughey mentioned on Kelly Ripa's podcast that it's possible his good friend Woody Harrelson could be his half-brother. Woody Harrelson's father, Charles Harrelson, was a convicted hitman with very violent tendencies towards Woody and his brothers. But apparently McConaughey indicated that his mom said she knew Charles, quote unquote, knew Charles well enough that both boys think that they had an affair. So Matthew and Woody have discussed possibly doing a DNA test, but Matthew is a little wary and feels he's got a lot to lose because he's concerned about finding out the man he's known all his life as his father may not be. I guess ignorance is bliss, right? So considering there's a decent possibility McConaughey and Harrelson are brothers, I'm curious how you guys would react if you found out your best friend was also your half-brother or sister.
Aww. I would be excited.
You'd be excited?
Yeah. I would be excited. I mean, initially shocked, obviously. But I would be very happy. I don't care who dad, mom is. Like, my best friend is my sister. That's amazing. Like, I'm happy. I think I would grow closer to my best friend, if that's possible. But yeah, I would like it. I would definitely have questions for my parents, but I don't
care. Right? So you'd have questions.
I'm the same way. Be like, no more bra hugs, more bro hugs. I would maybe, like McConaughey, you have some apprehensions because the person you considered your biological father. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's just biology. The person who was his father was his father. I mean, it just changes the biological makeup later on in life. I'd like to think that at his age, he's emotionally stable enough to handle that kind of stuff. If not, I'm sure that his friend, half-brother Woody, could help him relax. They're two guys that I know are like to chill, pretty laid back. But with Johnny, I would be shocked. I would be excited. And it's kind of like, okay, so my bestie's like my half brother. We're solidifying this bond with actual blood. This is pretty great. Because generally speaking, your best friend is, a brother or a sister that you choose. Brother from another mother, sister from another mistress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it would just be pretty awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so you'd be a little upset with your parents, but you'd be all cool with it.
They do what they do.
So, I mean, if you look at the picture, they do resemble each other very much, actually. I mean, like, they could be brothers, half-brothers with different mothers. So, anyway, my best friends are already my brothers, to be honest with you. I love my biological brother to death, but my connection to my friends is so strong. Shoot, I wouldn't be surprised if we did share some DNA or something. But the truth is, just being family doesn't make a relationship. I always hear stuff like, blood is thicker than water and family is the most important. I'm like, blood doesn't matter. Every relationship needs to stand on its own. It's like, now we may tend to have like stronger relationships with family because in most cases we've spent years with them nurturing relationships and things like that. And if it's positive, it's great. But what if you've had a bad relationship? I mean, it's okay to just not be friends with that person. If one of my brothers were my half-brother, I don't even care about the affair or anything like that. I'm like, that's cool. Let's do it. But we're already brothers anyway, so it doesn't even matter. The DNA doesn't even matter to me in general.
What if it was somebody that wasn't your best friend? Like, what if it was just somebody you actually didn't like? That would be...
Now, that's a good question.
Yeah.
No, what if somebody your biggest enemy...
You just turn the dial down. It's just like, I was riding this high. That'd be so cool. And it's like, oh, God, if it was... The turtle dirt bag.
Really? Yeah, wow. That would be rough.
Be interesting.
I have some family members that I don't even talk to because I'm like, you know, I don't even deal with them because they're crazy.
Same.
So
Same.
I got crazy out of my life a long time ago. All right. Some questions, some comments online. Mike Winter, already been there, done that. Matthew's book leads me to believe that he's fairly stable emotionally. Yeah, you would think he'd be okay with it, right? And he says, please don't go all Murray Povich talking about they look alike.
I hope Murray has retirement to do this. Come on, Murray. Do this one last test for us. Do it for America. Right?
All right, and Jack and Rob says, even if the half-sibling was conceived in a shady manner, that's not the person's fault. Totally agree with that. All right.
Agree.
Is this truth, lies, shenanigans?
Shenanigans.
This is some.
I want it to be true. I want it to be true.
I think it is. I think it is true.
I mean, his father is kind of like a infamous, but sure.
Yeah, his father's crazy. Yeah.
Shady character. The lady's like a bad boy. Just saying.
All right, let's get into our game. Good topic. All right, so today's game, Tell Me Without Telling Me. All right, Johnny, we didn't explain this pre-show, so you got to listen carefully. The way it's going to work, we'll spin the wheel, you'll get a letter. You have to think of a person, place, or thing starting with that letter. And then, without saying the word, you tell us what it is without telling us. So, for example, if you get the letter P, you might choose pizza. And you might say, I'm round, and I have a pepperoni, and I have anchovies on me. All right, and you have 10 seconds to get one of the other two panelists to guess.
Cool.
All right. The person who's giving the clues and the person who guesses the clue
gets a point.
So the person who doesn't guess does not get a point. Person with the most points gets the final thought for the show.
If there is a correct answer, there are 2 points to be attributed.
Ready?
Let's go. Straight up zeros. Let's do this.
All right. The letter M, Rob B.
She brought you into this world. She can take you out.
Mother.
There we go.
You're supposed to say, I am what you are. Tell me what you are without telling me. All right. But that's 2 points for...
Don't speak to your mother like that.
All right. You describe yourself as that person, place, or thing. Are you ready, Johnny?
Okay.
You're up next.
Yes.
All right. The letter N. Think of a person, place, or thing, and then tell me without telling me.
I am... driver on the, I'm often on TV. I race people.
NASCAR.
Yes.
Oh. All right. That's good. So I'm in the lead. 2 points for me.
All right. That's right. That's two for you.
Two for you. All right. You ready? Let's go.
Oh. All right. Let's kneel again.
All right, here we go. I'm a place with bars. Yes, correct. Jail.
What?
Jail. That was quick, Robbie. Like, all right,
a place with bars. Jamaica.
Jamaica.
I've been there. I know they have them.
Actually, that would have been a good answer. All right, Robbie, you're up next. All right, you're up next. Right. You ready? Go.
Let's do this.
Letter H.
All right.
10 seconds.
Okay.
Go.
All right. If you're bad, you won't go to heaven. You will come here.
Hell, 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 hell.
Yes.
Yanni, you're slow today. You're still dehydrated. Is that what it is, Yanni? You're still a little dehydrated.
I haven't seen her take a sip yet. I've been nursing this me too, whole right? show.
You guys, I haven't. And this time I don't have a drink. But both of you do. This is so embarrassing.
I always have a drink.
It's 4 points for me. All right. All right, Gianni, if Robbie needs to get this, Robbie needs to get this.
I do. I've only got three.
All right, Gianni. Tell me who are without telling me. Go.
I am a superhero. I have
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie, I'm giving it to you, Robbie. Good job. All right.
That's two W's.
All right. So I have 4 points. Yeah. You have three or four, Rob? You're four. We're tied. Oh, so we could tie here. So, all right, Johnny. I'm going to need you to guess this, Johnny. You ready? So I can win. Ready? All right, here we go. Okay.
Oh.
Cute. I am the head of a country. Queen. That is correct. That is correct, like, Robbie.
How many keywords are there?
I didn't even hear Robbie.
Queen.
Wow.
My next thing was going to be I'm a band.
Yep.
All right, Johnny, you are officially out, but you can still play along. All right, Johnny, you ready?
Yeah.
Johnny, let's go. All right, Johnny, letter F.
Okay. I am always there when you need me. I can be big or small. I can be from different countries. I can be extended or close.
Family.
Robbie.
Extended or close. That was really
awesome. Good job, Robbie. That wasn't even on my radar. I wasn't even getting close to that.
Yeah.
All right, shout outs. Let's start with Gianni.
Shout out to you guys for your kind words. Thank you. While I was feeling bad, it made me feel good, so I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys. It's always good to check on people and to just keep tabs and make sure people are doing well. So continue to do that. I love you guys.
All right. Love you too, Gianni. Uh-huh. Barbie.
Shout out to my mom, whose birthday we celebrated last week. So love you, Mom. And a big shout out to the Bruins. Let's go, Bees. Dude, you're just hating the Cavs.
I'm a hater. I'm a hater.
The Bruins are now, they're now officially the best team in NHL history. They've clinched the best record overall. Oh, yeah. It's 65 wins in an 82-game season. Quickest team ever to 100 points in just 61 games, 135 points for the season. Experts are predicting that it's going to be the Bruins and the Oilers for the Cup Final, but that remains to be seen. Playoffs start tonight at 7:30, so we got to wrap this up.
Well, congratulations to the Bruins, your Bruins. By the way, Jack and Rob says, great clues, Gianni.
Yeah.
All right. My shout out goes to my niece, Simone. I'm feeling real bad. She's been learning how to drive and she's been struggling to pass her driving test. And last week, she was out there driving and somebody hit her. Everyone's okay, but now she doesn't want to drive anymore. So I feel so bad for her, you know? It reminded me of like teaching my sister how to drive and we ended up having an accident. It was partially my fault because she was about to hit somebody in front of her and I grabbed the wheel and went into somebody else's lane and we had an accident and I think I traumatized my sister. So I don't know. I feel real bad for her. I hope she kind of gets over it and gets back out there driving.
I hope so too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I see a comment online, George Fournier. It won't mean much unless the Bruins win the cup.
Yeah, I know it, cousin. I know it.
All right. That is officially all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. I hope you learned something, gained a new perspective, or simply had some laughs with us. We will be back recording our podcast next week, Sunday, live as usual. And in the continuing saga of Mayor Patrick Willian, we'll have his replacement, Mayor Pro Tem Denise Mitchell, on the show to talk about that. Again, 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday. All right, and don't forget to check out our video clips. Subscribe to us on YouTube using tlsshow.com. And look for our official audio podcast on Tuesdays. Might be a little delayed because of delayed recording, but we'll try to get it on there for you. But that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And our final thought winner is Robbie Rog. Robbie, close us up.
All right. I'm encouraging everyone to engage in activities that bring you joy, like spending time with loved ones, reading a good book, listening to music, watching a favorite movie or TV show, just to boost your mood and improve your overall well-being. Don't forget to prioritize self-care and reach out for support when you need it.
Self-care. I love that. And your messages happy Jazz Appreciation Month, everybody. Thank you, Robbie Rock, Gianni. But most importantly, we need to thank you for listening to our shenanigans each and every week. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you Sunday.